Well, good morning, afternoon. Give it up for Beth and the band. We love it. Such a great song to sing, man, about God, being our risen King. I'm so excited to be up here with you guys today. If you are a first-time guest, you'll notice we made mention about this cool thing called a Connect Card. Just fill that out. Go see Lewis at the guest services. And if you're here for Pastor Stephen, that means you got to come back next week because he is on vacation. Right? That's another plug to come back. But I'm excited to be up here. Man, I love everything that is Bible, but I love also love students. This is my passion. It's just a great time just for all of us to come together and open up God's Word. It's one big family. And so I know in life, we've all had to make choices. Is that right? Everybody had to make a choice? Like for most of us, that was what time we wake up this morning. If you're like me on Blue Crew, you waited till the last second to this news to get here by 6 to set up everything that we have going on. When I was younger, I had the greatest decision of my day was what I was going to eat for breakfast. Right? When I was first or second grade, like it's the most pivotal time in a child's life is what they eat for breakfast. And so in my house, it was simple. I knew what I was going to do. I'd wake up every morning and I was going to bust open the Captain Crunch. I still, to this day at 26, I still bust open the Captain Crunch every day because some things never change, right? Pastor Stephen loves Blue Bell. I love Captain Crunch. It's weird. You go to my cabinet, that's all that's in there. Nothing but Captain Crunch and milk. It's sad stuff. But I remember one specific day when I was a young child, when my mom broke the news to me. They said, Timmy, guess what? We don't have any Captain Crunch. You would have thought that the world ended on that day. So she gave me an option. She said, you can have Cheerios or you can go without eating. It's kind of a no-brainer, right? I chose to go with that. I'm just kidding. No, I chose the Cheerios, but I realized the Cheerios taste like cardboard, so I probably should have, if you like Cheerios, I'm sorry, but should have gone without them. And I remember that day was just, it was just a terrible day in my life because the decision I made that morning ultimately affected what I was going to do that day, and we had field day that day, and it was just a bad time for me because I didn't make the right choice that morning, and I was so upset by what everything was happening. So I began to think, and even today, is do our choices really matter? Do our choices matter? Do the decisions we make matter? Do they affect other people? And last week, we looked at a story of three guys who made a choice, right? They chose to stand in a furnace for what they believed. Today, we're looking at a kind of a similar story, but this one's about one man. It's a story we've heard over 100 times. We all know how it ends. We all know about Daniel and the lion's den and how God rescued him in the end. But what happens in the middle changes everything. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. If you don't, it's going to be right up here on the screen. There's four major parts to this story that we're going to unfold over the next few minutes. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It said, it pleased Darius, who was the king, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, one of whom was Daniel, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was within him. And the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. But the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error of fault was found in him. So these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So we see Daniel right here. It's the same story, kind of a little bit we talked about last week. So Daniel is the same guy that interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But we'll fast forward. Now he's under a new rule, a new king, right? He's set up to be ruler over these nations, right? There's three guys, and he was the distinguished one. So we kind of see the overall narrative going on right here. So these guys were jealous of who Daniel was. They were jealous of what he was. Right, Daniel was an outsider, right? Because the nation of Israel is in exile at this time. He's an outsider, but yet this one outsider has just elevated himself to become the right-hand guy in the kingdom. It's kind of like this. Let's say I'm a sports guy. I use a lot of sports analogies. You're the hotshot quarterback, right? From freshman, sophomore, junior year, you're going to be the guy, and you wait all the way to your senior year. In comes a new transfer, and guess what? He takes your job. It's the exact same thing that's going on right here. These guys were so jealous of Daniel that they wanted to find a way to get him out. But here's a unique thing about Daniel, about who his character, about what he was. They searched over and over and over again to try to find something wrong with him, but they couldn't. So put ourselves in Daniel's shoes. If someone were to try to take us down from where we stand right now, would it be easy? Would it be hard for them to find something wrong with us? Would they have to search countless hours, countless minutes to try and find something to take us down? Or could they look at social media? Could they look at what we do outside the workplace? Could they look at what we do outside of church to take us down? The only thing they found wrong about Daniel was the connection he had to God. So we see right here, the first one is Daniel's disciplined. Daniel had a time every single day that he set aside to have time with the Father because he understood and he valued what it was, because his connection to the Creator was the basis of his character. Remember, the text said he was found no fault. He was blameless because he understood who was ultimately in control. So they searched over and over and over to find something wrong with Daniel, but the only thing they could find wrong was that he had a time with the Lord every day. Here's what happens next. Daniel chapter 6, verse 6. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps, the counselors, the governors, are all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Verse 10, here's what happens next. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chambers open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees, and three times a day he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had previously done. So we see that same group of people devise a plan to come to the king saying, Oh king, you are great. You are greater than anybody else. No one deserves worship but you. Right? Remember, the king and Daniel had a unique relationship. Daniel was his right-hand man, right? Daniel was in such high regard, he had such great character, that the king knew that there was nothing Daniel was ever going to do to ever take down the kingdom or to ever try to be a king, because Daniel was just willing to serve. So these guys come to the king, says, Oh king, man, you are great. You know, you should make a decree that no one gives praise but to you. Just make it for 30 days. And so what does the king do? He falls under the pressure of the people. He signs a decree. And Daniel gets word of this. What happened next was remarkable. He did as he had always done. He had gone up to the window and he had prayed. And remember, the decree was for 30 days. So easily, once Daniel got word of this, he could have said, you know what? For 30 days, I'm just going to stop. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect anybody. I'm just going to stop what I do so I don't get thrown into a lion's den, because I don't want to give up what I have right now. But he understood what truly mattered to him. So when the times got tough for Daniel, he didn't turn to anger. He didn't turn to selfishness or bitterness, asking God, why is this happening to me? No. He turned to the one thing he knew best. He turned to his prayer life, and he turned to the Creator. Man, so the question for us is simply this. When things happen in our lives, when stuff happens that we don't fully understand, when a decree is made, when people look at us differently, where do we turn? Do we turn to anger and bitterness, saying, God, why is this happening to me? Or do we turn to our knees and we say, God, you are worthy of everything. Daniel understood what truly mattered to him. Even in the face of a 30-day decree, he stayed the course. Remember, it was just his prayer life. Nobody was going to know if he stopped. And which begs the question to us, does what we do in our private time really matter? Does what we do in our private life when nobody's around us, when nobody knows what we're doing, does it matter? And you bet it does. Because I believe there's some people in here that are battling with things on their own personally, in their own personal life, that are holding them down from seeking after Jesus every single day. And we think we can kind of keep it covered. No one's ever going to find out. No one's ever going to know. But I know this, man, that chain is going to hold you down until you release that to the Father. So does what we do in our personal time matter? And you bet it does. The culture around Daniel was shifting. A decree came in. But Daniel understood this, that he wasn't going to let culture define his convictions. He's going to let his convictions define his culture. Here's what that simply means, man. The world today is ever-changing. You can look around the news. You turn on the news, man, something's going to pop up that wasn't the same as it was 10 years ago. Because the world around us tries to tell us every single day that this book right here does not matter anymore. That this thing that we call the gospel is not longer relevant in our lives because times are changing. Well, here's a newsflash for you. It is more relevant today than it has ever been. So we need to stop letting the world tell us how we live our life and start living our life the way the Bible tells us so that other people can come to know that. That's exactly what Daniel understood. He wasn't going to let the world around him cause him to lose his focus with the Father. He was going to continue to carry on with everything that he'd done. He was willing to suffer the lion's den for a time of prayer. 3 times a day he prayed, not once, not twice, but 3 times. He was willing to suffer the ultimate price for a connect time with the guy who created him. Man, Daniel wasn't afraid of a lion's den, but yet sometimes we're often afraid to pray in public. We're often afraid to invite someone to church. Man, this dude was going to face death, but yet all we'll simply face is a laugh. So I began to think, man, there's certain times in our lives as students, man, that's praying before lunch. It's opening up a Bible before you get to class. For some of us in the corporate world, when you're a businessman, you're on a business meeting at lunchtime, man. What's going to stop you from praying for the food and praying for the people around you? Daniel's willing to face a lion's den, but yet we're not willing to face our own peers. But we can't let culture dictate our convictions. Our convictions have to dictate our culture. So Daniel chose to be closer to the Creator than closer to the culture. No matter what was going to happen, he chose God above all else. And his decision was made before it had to be made. Remember, he knew what the decree was about. He knew if he got caught praying, he'd be in the lion's den. But you know what? He carried on. He made it, the decision, before it had to be made. And here's the important thing here. So there's always going to be tension between God and culture. There will always be a tension between God and culture because the world we live in is a dark and sinful place that is in need of hope. So there will always be a tension between light and dark. But here's the key about Daniel, man. The decree didn't stop his devotion. He continued on. He kept going no matter what people were going to tell him. He didn't sacrifice it for a second. He carried on just as he had been doing. Verse 14, here's what happens next. Here's where the den comes in. Then the king who heard these words right after Daniel was accused of praying was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. And the king declared to Daniel, "Do not miss this. May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his place and spent the night fasting with no sleep and no food. So the king got word about Daniel. Remember, special relationship. King got word of Daniel was praying, and he tried everything that he could to get out of the decree he made. Now remember, this is a different rule. We go from Babylon right here to the Persians, right? So we got 2 different contexts. So there's nothing that the king could get out of that decree that he made. There's nothing he could do to veto that. So this guy's coming and says, "Hey, king, remember, you can't get out of that decree, so guess what you got to do now? You got to throw that Daniel guy into the lion's den, and guess what, king? We just won." And so the king, with hardness in his heart, sadness in his heart, says these last words to Daniel, which was so remarkable. He says, "May the God whom you serve continually deliver you." Not today, not tomorrow, not months from now. No. Continually, which is every single day. May he continually deliver you. The king sealed the stone by, put a signet on it. The king goes to his palace, the place he had gone every single night, the place he called home, the place he had everything he ever wanted. But he couldn't eat and he couldn't sleep. So the king was restless in his palace on a pillow of feathers, while Daniel was restful in a den of lions. The king who had everything, worried about one man. And here's the cool part. Here's what happens next. Verse 20. Here's where God comes in. As he came near the den where Daniel was, which is the king, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because he trusted in his God. So we see the next day comes. The king runs down screaming, shouting, Daniel, has your God, has the living God delivered you? What does Daniel say? King, I'm here. God has delivered me. He has found me blameless in you and in his sight. And so we see here just the craziness that happens, man. The king who had everything, worried about one man, but God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. I believe this, that if God wanted Daniel to die in that den, he would have. If God wanted Daniel to die a martyr for standing up for what he believed, he would have. If God would have wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last week to die in the furnace, he would have. But that wasn't their story. All their stories point to a guy who would come later on in the New Testament, who would come to die on this earth, take away the sins of the world, and be resurrected 3 days later. And later on in the chapter of Daniel, talks about a new kingdom to come, all pointing to Christ. But here's the underlying thing about the story. The story is not about a lion's den. We're faced with dens every single day. It's not about God taking us from the den. It's about our faithfulness during that time. It has nothing to do with these lions. It has everything to do with the heart of the person who is in the den. Daniel was faithful from day one. Man, you ask John the Baptist how faithfulness was for him. Ask Paul how faithfulness was for him. Being faithful to God's never easy. People were beheaded, stoned. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. So for us today, man, we know that being faithful to God is never going to be easy, especially in a dark world like today. But God is calling us to be faithful to him because he will deliver us one day. And Daniel looked forward to that day where he would look with his creator face to face when he'd be in eternity with him forever. Man, but Daniel came out of that den. He was humble. He was praising God. He wasn't angry. Right, he was saying, God, thank you. Because here's the key. God chose to use Daniel's circumstance for his glory. I believe that if Daniel would have wavered for just one second, the story would be radically different. But he was faithful from the decree to the den, from the time he was delivered. He never wavered for one second. He continually sought after God every day. So here's the cool thing that happens next. Then the king Darius wrote to all the people, the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree, here's the second decree, that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of lions. We see the first decree. The king makes a decree praising him. And now we see at the end of the story, decree says, don't praise me. Praise the one who saved Daniel. Praise the one who created everything. Praise the one who's got the power over all the earth. So God used Daniel, one man, to change the heart of a king, which ultimately helped shape a nation, which ultimately brought light to people. Because God used Daniel's faithfulness to shine truth. Because here at the end of the day, you can't go wrong doing right. Daniel knew what was right. He knew from the beginning. He held true to his convictions. He stayed the course. He was thrown into a den. Didn't lose hope for just a second because he ultimately knew that God was going to deliver him one way or another. But he was faithful to the end. And look what had happened. Man, the story is not about lions. It's not about a den. It's about the faithfulness of one man. There's a story about a 4th century monk. His name's Telemachus. Little Telemachus traveled to the Roman Colosseum. At this time, the gladiator games were at the peak of its time in history. And so Telemachus traveled into the stadium. He went all the way to the top. He's just a little guy. As the games began, he realized something was wrong. He couldn't really understand what was going on. So what he said, he got up at the top of his lungs. He screamed these words. He said, in the name of the Lord, stop. He realized nobody was hearing him. So what he did, he moved down a little closer. Said it again. He said, in the name of the Lord, stop. Yelling at these gladiators who were way far away. He moved down further and further and further. And people started watching this little monk as he made his way down. He said, in the name of the Lord, stop. And by this time, people are looking at him as he steps over the railing into the arena. And he says these words one more time. In the name of the Lord, stop. And those are the last words Telemachus ever breathed. And that was the last games ever held inside the Roman Colosseum. One man held true to his convictions and took a stand no matter what everybody else was saying. Daniel, one man, held true to his convictions no matter what the people said. For us, church, here's where we come in. God is calling us every day to hold true to what the Bible teaches, to not falter, to not waver, to not give in for one second, but to stay true to what God has called us to every single day. And here's our life point. Our faithfulness brings God glory. Our faithfulness brings God glory. At the end of the day, it wasn't about Daniel, it wasn't about the lions. It's about God being glorified through a situation.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.